Welcome to Minority Corner
with an Eke
and James,
the Wonder Twins of podcasting.
Learn, laugh, play.
It's like Blue's Clues,
only it's more black, queer,
and ladylike.
This week on Minority Corner,
James, did you get my message?
Yes, I did. Ooh, those black chefs be cooking.
And I loved hearing about all your wild and crazy days in Europe. You be so Euro fancy.
Oh, I know. And I'm still here. Well, this week, I'm going to tell you all about... Well, there's just so much, actually, that I just want to get into and just ask you about. Again, there's some other shows that I watch that I want to get your opinions and thoughts on. And do people really have sex in the stacks? I have a question for you about that. Also, D23, Disney's huge thing. Think of it as Comic-Con, but for all things Disney, which they own pretty much everything, they have their big expo, so I have some Marvel updates that I would love to give to you. And I have some conflicting feelings about a really, really rich conservative person who died. Am I a terrible person about my thoughts and feelings about this person? I've also got some gossip for you. That's the black gossip. Karamo Brown surely stepped in it this week. And also, I want to get your opinions and thoughts a little bit about, well, Black Women's Equal Pay Day. I saw a really interesting article that kind of dived in deeper. And I think for you, reading the article would just be like, yep, that's it. So that's what I have going on for you. It's a little bit of a mismatch of all kinds of things just because I have so many things that I want to talk to you about and catch up with you about.
Ooh, okay. This time around, I'm going to be talking about what we can do to help the Amazon. It's on fire, y'all, and it is heartbreaking. A lot of us civilians need some words of encouragement, and I have some articles to help you with that.
Ooh. Well, I am so excited to hear all about it. You ready, girl?
Yes, I'm ready. Let's get this transcontinental party started. Reached an Eke cell phone, and why are you leaving a message? Just text me. Unless you're James giving me that sweet, sweet corner action. You better tell me all about it.
Girl, I got you, okay? I love that your voicemail was just sort of catered to me. I feel just so loved all the way across on the other side of the planet from you. I do have a corner for you. I mean, not really. I'm going to be honest. It's more of some rambling thoughts and questions I have about a lot of different things that are happening in the state of the world and things that maybe, I don't know if you do know about it. But first, before I get into any of that, I got some random shit I want to talk to you about. So yes, I'm still over here in Europe. Actually, I was in Barcelona and now I'm over here in Amsterdam. And apparently when I left the Netherlands the first time, because I was here like 3 weeks ago and I'm back, apparently like the sun went away. And the day I came back, it came back. So I'm just saying, I don't know. I bring the sunshine. So the MTV, I feel like this happens every year. The MTV VMAs happen again. And once again, I did not know. And it just reminded me just like how out of the loop I am from the VMAs. It's kind of sad. I feel like we talk about this every year. It's like our own Christmas miracle. No, Christmas tradition. And, but I did take a look and see, you know, I like to go on Vulture and see what happened and who was winning awards. Do I recognize any of the artists? Some of them I do not, because I am a man in his 30s. I did, so Miley Cyrus performed, and I noticed she's very much done being black, aka co-opting black culture. She's going back to where she was. I feel like this is what happens with these little white pop starlets where they're just like, I'm going to rebel. And they run to like hip hop and like black culture as a way to rebel. It was like, it's just interesting that it's like something throughout history that has just always sort of been there, where there are sometimes like, you know, the white women who will maybe even date a black guy to like piss off their parents. I mean, that could be an old wives' tale, but I feel like that does happen. And see, me just leaving a voicemail to you, I don't have you here to check and balance me. So it's just me rambling. Am I off base? Lizzo was shutting it down. I love just how Lizzo's like rise to fame has just been. I remember when I first saw her on the Samantha Bee show, and she just was so fabulous. And I just love that the rest of the world is appreciating her as well. Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift's performance just redid the music video. So then I started thinking, I was like, you know, a lot of these people are not putting the effort into these music video, these performances that they used to do back in the day, just taking notice. And I was thinking that until Missy Elliott, whoever this Missy Elliott person is, she's got to be a star. Quoting from when she performed at the Super Bowl and young children didn't recognize the greatness of Missy Elliott. She worked it out. If you want to see how to do a VMA performance, and like, it was fucking bananas. It was really amazing. Bananas. I was also made aware recently from a person here in the Netherlands who will remain nameless for now, that it's wild that we say the word bananas, because it doesn't really make any sense. Like, why do we say it when something's like crazy? Like, it was bananas. Like, is it because monkeys are crazy? Is that where it is? Is it because Gwen Stefani helped us be able to spell it out? B-A-N-A-N-A-S. Wait, B-A-N-A-N-A-S. I still can't spell that fucking word. Okay, so also, did you know that R&B still exists? Did you know? I did not know, but there's still an award for it. So that's good. And K-pop has its own category. That's how huge K-pop is. That's amazing. So something I didn't actually get to talk to you about last week, I'm sure you've watched the Netflix documentary, The Great Hack. I watched it with my friend Gavin in Barcelona. And what a documentary. If you haven't seen it, check it out. The Great Hack. It's a jaw-dropping sort of like, oh, this is how all this shit happened. Because it's about Cambridge Analytics and how they've had involvement essentially in shaping what happened to Brexit. And here also in the States with the 2016 election, essentially being able to data mine our social media information and then sending people targeted propaganda ads. The craziest part about it is one of the quote-unquote whistleblowers is like, this girl named Brittany, and she seems like she's just high the entire time. And just like, oh my God, I ruined the country, but I'm broke. So I'm just trying to be a good person. I used to work for Barack Obama doing humanitarian stuff. I'm somewhere here on the coast of Thailand and Russia's trying to kill me. Do you need me? Do you need help destroying a country? Cause I'll do it. And you're just like, how the hell did this? And she like has access to like Edward Snowden. No, was it Edward Snowden? Who's the guy that, the WikiLeaks guy. Yeah, like she, oh, Julian Assange. Like she forgot that she had a meeting with Julian Assange and she's been meeting with all these fucking Russian oligarchs. And you're just like, this woman, this woman. So definitely check that out. Big question for you. I was watching Dear White People, Volume 3, and there was a thing that came up, and you're a librarian, so I was wondering if this is true. There was a thing about Sex in the Stacks. Is that a thing that happened on college campuses, that like a lot of sex was happening in the library? I do vaguely remember at UC Santa Cruz, like the fourth floor, the top floor of the library was, I rumor had it, was a cruising area for men. This is pre-Grindr, Scruff, or anything like that. I guess Craigslist was popping off around that time. So I was just wondering if you are aware of, is Sex in the Stacks, is that a real thing? Let me say it again, dear white people. I finished The Good Place season, all three seasons, burned through it. It's such a good show. It's so amazing. If you're not watching it, watch. It's such a good fucking show. And you learn a lot about philosophy and the plot. It's sort of like Doctor Who. I feel like I talked about this last week, but it's sort of like Doctor Who meets like something Joss Whedon-y meets 30 Rock or something. And it's so diverse and just so incredibly well done. So something I really want to jump into, because we're such nerds, as I ramble my way through here. Again, snaps to you last week with your black chefs, because I was like, whoa, Aneke is bringing it. She is doing a legit corner through this voicemail. And unlike James, who's just Rambletown, this is what happens. I'm just speaking into a microphone. Into the abyss. So D23 happened. And so if you don't know what D23 is, it is essentially Comic-Con, but all for Disney specifically. I think they do it every 2 years. They don't do it every year, but it is huge. And you think about this, I mean, Disney owns so many fucking properties. So there's even things that they specifically are not going to talk about at Comic-Con waiting for their D23. So there's a lot of stuff about Star Wars. You know, there's the Disney Plus, which we're all going to have to get. Disney's going to get after our money, because how are we not going to watch The Mandalorian? Mandalorian series or any of the Star Wars series or all the Marvel series. So Black Panther 2 has a release date, May 6, 2022. Seems really far away. But, and it sucks that it's like 4 years in between the Black Panther movies. Whatever. But anyways, it's a happening, so that is exciting. And there's also, I'm super excited, they're going to do a She-Hulk series. I don't know if this is a live action or an animated series. I hope it is live action, because She-Hulk is really dope. Because she's her cousin, Bruce Banner, she gets a blood transfusion from him. And then she becomes like a Hulk, but like, she's still smart and classy. Well, she's like, she gets angry. She does. But that's okay. Women can get angry too. Not that you need my permission. But she's like a lawyer by day, and then she's like kicking criminals by night or whatnot. And she's green all the time. She's green, and she's smart, and she's intelligent, and she's fierce. So that's going to be great. And then Miss Marvel, who I'm really excited about. Not Captain Marvel, but Miss Marvel. I think Camila Khan. Oh, my nerd friends are yelling at me. But she's getting her own series. So that is super exciting. And Moon Knight. I think I don't really know who Moon Knight is, so. But it's coming. And we'll all know who they are, too. So I have a question for you. I've been feeling a little weird about this. Somebody died, and I am kind of like, I feel terrible. This is so bad. I should not be sharing this with you. But I share with you because I need you to let me know if I am a terrible person. So I was in Amsterdam, where I was at a rooftop party, a little shindig, and someone let me know that one of the Koch brothers died. And I was like, ugh. I feel terrible, but on the inside, I was like, yay, but then someone died, and that's never, you know, I think any life loss is sad. But then on the other hand, I'm thinking about, like, this is one less person to do a lot of the corruption and stuff that we have in this country in terms of corporations and their involvement in politics, and it's businesses first. Businesses have more rights than human beings here in this country, and the Koch brothers are partly responsible for helping that happen. And there's one less of them. And if you don't really know about the Koch brothers, watching the final season of House of Cards, the two characters who oppose Claire in that season are modeled after the Koch brothers. And they're terrible. And, you know, he personally may have opposed GOP stances against gay rights and same-sex marriage and abortion and cannabis legalization, but he then helped fund anti-LGBTQ politicians, hate groups, legislations to the tune of millions. And yeah, so there's that. And I mean, he also gave to like terrible Republican politicians like Rick Santorum. Ugh, remember him? Terrible. Mitch McConnell, Michelle Bachmann, just terrible people. Or maybe not terrible people. People I wouldn't want to have dinner with, but maybe that's the problem. Not having dinner with these people. And they're off to their own craziness. But a lot of conservative think tanks, it just, the climate change deniers, and also this organization, ALEC, the Alliance Defending Freedom. Woody, this is a mess. Cut this part. But he gave to groups like ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council, who's a nonprofit that drafts and shares model state level legislation, largely supporting businesses and conservative social issues, including opposition to LGBTQ rights. So a lot of just, you know, terrible things. On the other hand, he did donate to cancer research and New York's Lincoln Center for the Performing Arts. So not all terrible. But I just feel like, you know, it's one less person helping to contribute to the terribleness that is this country, which brings me to the point of like when I was researching of what I wanted to talk to you about through this very long voicemail message, I said this last week, I took a really big break from American politics. The first week that I was here, I was still watching The View. I was still keeping abreast on things. And then I just stopped. And it's been amazing. I have no idea what's happening in terms of like the elections and who's saying what and who's doing what. And it's been a breath of fresh air. Because even here in the Netherlands, they only run for like 6 weeks. That's it. That's how long elections are running, which makes sense. Go do whatever it is that you're also doing and don't spend that much fucking money on these elections. This election system
It's so sick. It's so wrong. It's very capitalism, very American consumer, money, spend, advertisement, show. It's too much. And so I've actually enjoyed this break. And I'll jump back into the ring. I know I've been telling everybody of like, we got to stay in this and this election. It's a marathon, not a race. But again, it is a marathon, not a race. We have a long time to go. Did you know that the official start of the election season isn't until after Labor Day weekend? So I was like, well, what the fuck was the other since December? Mess. Oh, a little bit of gossip for you. So also keep in mind, I do have a really exciting corner coming up next week about the Moors and their involvement and essentially getting Europe out of the Dark Ages and how the Moors, black folks, gave so much contributions to Europe, which is so, you know, revered around the world. Well, thank you, Moors. Thank you, black people, once again. So we'll get into that next week. But the gossip. So Karama Brown, you know him. I know him from MTV's Real World Philadelphia, but a lot of you all know him from Queer Eye. I have not watched, but I hear it's great. I hear it's fabulous. Just only so many hours in the day, but he stepped in it. So he's going to be one of the folks dancing on Dancing with the Stars. And so is Sean Spicer, which like, why are we giving these terrible Trump lackeys? It's like, it was literally like, it's a reality television White House, you know? Omarosa went on to Big Brother, then this is happening. I think Scaramucci was on Big Brother. It's a mess. So eventually, I guess like Karamo was saying, like essentially went on Twitter, like was in an interview and he said something to the effect of like, you know, him and Sean Spicer have been talking and he's excited to meet him because he's like, you know, we might be on opposite sides of, you know, the table, but I'm a believer that you can talk to someone and meet them in the middle. And you can learn a lot about each other, which I think makes sense because that's a lot about the premise of Queer Eye. And also, I saw him speak at that thing way back with the lawyer, the international lawyers who were doing all the work around the world, dismantling homophobic laws and gay rights through the legal system. So he was there, and that's what he was kind of talking about. So I do, and he said that, you know, Spicer was a nice guy. And I think this was like an interview. And I think one thing that people should keep in mind that when you're doing a lot of press, like sometimes like words just come out of your mouth. And I think it's such a, this cancel culture, I have such mixed feelings about it. It is just so, we all just get onto the social media and we all just sort of rant and rage. And it's not healthy. You're just spewing a lot of anger out into the world. I think we also need to remember that people are human beings. And you know, that's also, I don't think that he's signing off on anything that Sean Spicer's done. And who knows, maybe Sean Spicer's going to grow and learn a lot from Karamo and maybe his wrongdoings. Maybe he'll dance it out and we'll see a whole new Sean Spicer. But I get, you know, people are angry because of, you know, Sean Spicer was, you know, a right-hand person to this terrible administration and all the terrible things that they've done for LGBTQ people as well. So I don't know. I had just had mixed feelings about it. I'm just being very mindful about my pitchfork these days. We tend to just, you know, really jump on the bandwagon of canceling folks, and especially fellow black gay entertainer guy. I am cautious about it. And because those press tours, it's exhausting. Okay, the main thing that I wanted to talk about as I've yammered through. So it recently was Black Women's Equal Pay Day. And I'm going to link to you an article that the Glow Up did that I thought was really sort of interesting. It kind of was like a discussion about, you know, essentially like why are things still so fucking terrible? We've acknowledged it. I think that there was a goal to lessen the degree of the annual earnings of between black women and white male counterparts. And it's just not really moving the needle. And so I think some things that came up, and I think you can, it's again, black women in the workplace are judged differently. Again, if they're too aggressive, also there's, you know, about their hairstyles and just their sort of like personalities, not like their personalities, but like how people are viewing them. I think it's really fascinating because, you know, I work in a tech company and, you know, my team is very much white ladies, and they bring on more people and they just bring more white ladies. And Yeah, it's like, I get it because people like to hire, be around people that remind them of themselves. But again, from the business standpoint, everybody benefits from diversity because most businesses, when they don't have diversity on it, they do dumb shit. Like, what was it? Abercrombie and Fitch, when they did a campaign with the black boy wearing a hoodie sweatshirt saying, coolest monkey in the jungle. See, if you have black people on your team, that shit wouldn't have happened. But the article also talks about how there's just also a lack of women mentors that are also because there's not other black women who are in hiring positions to be able to kind of help hire those diverse people, or also feeling, you know, with retention. I can imagine it's really hard if you are the only. And that's the other thing. Like, I'm sure you can. I'm telling you nothing new that you don't know. But I just thought it was for myself was really, really interesting insights that. Yeah, when you're like the only, there's a whole other pressure, and just again having to work twice as hard to get half as much. And the article kind of sums around to they were, you know, talking to different, and again, like there's a lot of like predominantly white feminist organizations like Lean In who don't really, the intersectionality is not really there. And so a lot of times when we're talking about, you know, women's rights, again, it seems to, the women of color seem to be left out of that. So I thought this was a really, again, important, of course, conversation that was happening. It's a really cool article. And they essentially landed on, we're not holding companies accountable for changing these demographics. And I don't know what to do because businesses, again, have more rights than human beings. But that's kind of the problem, is that there's just no accountability for businesses. So they're like, well, why the fuck am I going to change? If there's no, I don't know, do you have like a quota of some sorts? And I know people don't necessarily like that, but it would force them to have to, I don't know, shouldn't companies have to look like the demographic of America or something like that, you know? Or even better. I feel like that should be something that businesses are striving for. Maybe they get a tax credit. Businesses love tax credits. There could be something to be offered there. So there you go. Presidential candidates who are still running, whoever you are. I don't know. I've been paying attention. There's something for you to look at. Well, there's all my thoughts on things. And I will be heading back to the States this week. But, you know, I feel like you have to drag me out of Europe. Every time I come back to Europe, I've been here several times. This is what, like my 10th time to Holland, my like 6th time to Spain. I don't want to leave. So maybe I never come back to the state. Well, I will eventually come back, but I am kind of eyeing some options to maybe stay here in Europe for a year or two and to be continued. I'm not ready to go back. But I will look forward to getting a closer time zone than you to you. And we can have a real chat. Bossity bop bop bop. Minority Corner session. I love you, girl. Thanks for listening to this long ass voicemail. Let me know what you think. Bye.
Listen, I'm a hotshot Hollywood movie producer. You have until I finish my glass of kombucha to pitch me your idea. Go.
All right, it's called Who Shot Ya? A movie podcast that isn't just a bunch of straight white dudes. I'm Iffy Whiteyway, the new host of the show and a certified BBN.
BBN?
Buff black nerd.
I'm Alonzo Duraldi, an elderly gay and legit film critic who wrote a book on Christmas movies.
I'm Drea Clark, a loud white lady from Minnesota.
Each week, we talk about a new movie in theaters and all the important issues going on in the film industry.
It's like Guess Who's Coming to Dinner meets Cruising.
And if it helps seal the deal, I can flex my muscles while we record each episode.
I'm sorry, this is a podcast? I'm a movie producer. How did you get in here?
Iffy, quick, start flexing.
Bicep, lats, chest. Who Shot Ya? Dropping every Friday on MaximumFun.org or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hi, it's a me, Jamesio, living my life like it's golden over here in Europe. What? You got a message for me? Well, you better be an Eke, otherwise it's gonna be a while till I get back to you when I'm in the States. Leave the damn thing!
It's Aneke leaving you a message. I hope you're ready. So like I mentioned earlier that I want to talk to you about this global crisis that's happening in Brazil right now. The Amazon is on fire, guys. It is depressing. It is the lungs of the world. I think it provides 20% of the oxygen of this whole planet. And the fact that it's on fire means that we are in a crisis right now. The president, Bolsonaro, he has been announcing that it's up for business. So basically, it isn't just like, oh, a lightning hit the Amazon and it's on fire. No, they are literally doing this for agribusiness. They are burning it to give space for agriculture, for other types of industries that will not provide the oxygen that we need, not to mention all the indigenous people that are currently living in the Amazon. He is been very vocal about his hate of others and of women and of the queer community. He's not afraid to say it. He's awful. He is a horrible person wreaking havoc that will have lasting generation and generation and generation effects on this world. So what do we do about it? What do we do? So I did a little bit of searching and I got a lot of my current information about what's going on as the global crisis that I just talked about from CNN. And then now I'm looking at CNET. So yes, on CNET, the Amazon, their article that they have that is, has been updated the past couple of days now, so they're really keeping on it. They give a lot of information. So the Amazon has been on fire for the past month. It's a state of emergency. At the G7 summit, $20 million in aid was suggested to give to Brazil, but Bolsonaro, the president, mispronouncing his name, but you know, whatever. He is rejecting it because he has sensitive feelings about what Macron had said about him, the president of France. So what else do we have to say? What areas are being affected? So the fires have spread to Bolivia and Paraguay, according to the report in Telesur. Smoke can be felt in Uruguay and Argentina. Like I said before, it is 20% of the world's oxygen, 10% of the world's known biodiversity, lungs of the planet, huge, crazy, world-impacting environment. How many fires are burning? 2,500 active fires in the Brazilian forest. BBC is reporting right now, which is cray. Have the fires been put out? No, the fires are still active. So Bolsonaro was mobilizing the Brazilian army to combat the flames, apparently, which is good. Patchy rain is expected through September 10th, so hopefully that will help, but that's only expected to bring minor relief, unfortunately. Trump tweeted his support, who cares? What else does CNET have to say? Basically, what are the other politicians doing to help? Okay, so Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro expressed concern about the fires devastating Brazil and Bolivia. He's offered aid to extinguish them. The Venezuelan Chancellery also expressed solidarity with the indigenous communities. One point that I really want to emphasize is that a lot of people live in the Amazon. This is a decimation of people, which Bolsonaro does not give a shit about. It's important. So here in America, Tim Cook, the Apple CEO, he has tweeted that he is going to be donating help, but he has not said how much. Hashtag Act for the Amazon is trending on Twitter. Protests all over the world are happening, including Barcelona, Paris, London, Madrid, Copenhagen. So people are aware of this. So what I want to get to is, how can we help? How can we sit by and not be idle? What can we do to really bring awareness? How can we just feel like we're doing something? And I'm going to do one or multiple of these things myself, because this is our world. This is who we're passing the world down to. I mean, let's be cognizant of the fact that our lives are ephemeral for this world, but the planet will be here hopefully without our destruction for millions of more years. So that's the purpose, to keep this planet going. So you can donate to the Rainforest Action Network, donate to the Rainforest Trust. You can reduce your paper and wood consumption. Double check with the Rainforest Alliance that what you're buying is considered rainforest friendly. Reduce your beef intake. Beef found in processed products and fast food burgers is often linked to deforestation. That's just in a general sense. The Worldwide Fund for Nation, also known as the World Wildlife Fund in the US and Canada. So they're working to protect species in the Amazon and around the world. Ecocia.org, ECOCIA.org, is a search engine that plants a tree for every 45 searches you run. Change.org always has a lot of petitions that you can sign onto. There's a mobilization to investigate into the Amazon fires on there. You could donate to Amazon Watch, an organization that protects the rainforest, defends indigenous rights, and works to address climate change. Donate to Amazon Conservation Team. There's also Amazon Conservation accepts donations right now. You can contact your elected officials, make your voices heard. That's always something good that we like to talk about here on the podcast that you can do. You could donate to One Tree Planted. It is an organization that stops deforestation around the world and in the Amazon rainforest. One Tree Planted will keep you updated on the Peru Project and the impact of your trees are having in the community. So that's good. Sign Greenpeace's petition telling Brazilian government to save the Amazon rainforest and protect the lands of indigenous and traditional communities. So a lot of these are just kind of general deforestation orgs and general practices that we can do. I mean, every little bit helps, but it really looks like we need to look at our politicians and who we're supporting and what aid we're giving, and which politicians support Trump, which support Bolsonaro, which supports big agribusiness, which supports all of these different things that led to this point. Politics, once again, falls right down into it. It's intense, but it's true. So really, vote in 2020. I mean, by that point, who knows what the state of the Amazon is going to be, but at least going forward, we can see who's going to cultivate what is left and what can be rebuilt and replanted and reestablished, and what people can be protected and the aid given to the people who is for those causes. Really look to your elected officials for that, and international policies instead of exclusion, xenophobia, which this administration loves right now. We are a global nation at this point. We are connected more than ever before with the internet and media and flights easy to go this way and that and satellites. So we need to protect everyone. We need to stop being so insular, you know? Everybody after Trump was elected saying that this is the darkest timeline is ridiculous. There are dark timelines all over the world. Stop being so America-centered, because we're all affected by each action that every country, nation, continent is taking. Just for instance, right now, 20% of the oxygen in the world is in Brazil. Have you thought about Brazil recently? Except for maybe that, you know, whatever Brazilian music mix, or that sexy guy that does Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Well, you need to move past that. You need to think about this global community. And just because Trump got elected here in America doesn't mean that things have been going around the world for eons. It is not the darkest timeline. We're just heading into a state of fascism that we can fix. So, let's do something about it.
Hi, I'm Dave Hill from Show Business. And while I'm not from Canada, my grandfather Clarence Vincent Blake Sr. was, and he wouldn't shut up about it. My grandfather moved on to that great penalty box in the sky way back in the 80s. Still, all these years later, I can't help but wonder, what do we really know about Canada and its people? Which is why my friend Chris Gersbeck and I decided to make So, You're Canadian. Brand new podcast from the Maximum Fun Network, on which I attempt to get to know our neighbors to the north, one Canadian at a time. Coming to Maximum Fun, August 27th. And I'm not sorry.
All right, we did another one for the books.
I know, we're getting really good at these.
Yeah, but we can't keep doing this forever.
No, ma'am, which is why I am coming back home today.
Yay, I'm so excited. I miss you.
Oh, I miss you too. And for all of you listeners, thank you for going on this crazy voicemail ride with us. And don't forget to tweet at us at Minority Corner with a K.
You can also send us an email at minoritycorner, also spelled with a K, at gmail.com. Remember, you can always ask us anything on the emails.
We've also got our Facebook group. We got new people joining every week. The community is still going strong. It's the Corner Kids Playground on the Facebook. I would actually say probably one of the best things that Facebook has going on, because there's, you watch that documentary about the great hack, Facebook be fucking up. And thank you all for listening to Minority Corner.
Because together,
we're the majority.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.